Off the Ball Rugby.
And there was no doubt there was a lot of disappointment in the Galway air that they didn't have this win, because they're sick of losing interpros and they're sick of losing to Leinster. That's 13 defeats in a row to Leinster, and it's 10 interpro defeats out of 10 in the last two seasons.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
I was just finished covering the drama, incredible drama at Old Trafford. They call it the Theatre of Dreams. They certainly put on a show this afternoon, Manchester United. Some good, some bad. But to win it in that fashion, they concede the two goals, one of them in added time, but then win it with Benjamin Sesko, their substitute, scoring deep into added time as well. Like, wins like that must be absolutely huge for United, coming off the back of the Ruben Amorim era.
Of course, three wins in a row for Michael Carrick. Incredible start to his career there as the manager. Certainly putting a case out now for him to be there long term. If he keeps continuing like this, he'll definitely be creating a lot of noise anyway. And he'll definitely be in the hat, I suppose, for long term position if he keeps picking up these results. But incredible match, as you said, like just had a little bit of everything. And Manchester United looked solid for most of the game until one cross came in from Anderson, and Jimenez nearly scored just over Harry Maguire's head and out for a corner kick. And what happened there was that the gaps were getting too big between Harry Maguire and Dallow out on that right side of the defence. And to be fair to Carrick, he seen that. Just after that, they end up getting the penalty, that ball in between, the ball around Harry Maguire, I should say, and Jimenez is in between Dallow and Maguire in an acre of space before Maguire takes him down to concede the penalty. Straight away, Carrick takes off Dallow and brings on Mazraoui to try tighten it up. Doesn't quite work. Ends up bringing on Yoro then as well. So he ends up stuffing the defence on that right side to make sure they don't keep conceding down there. And it worked in the end, in the sense that they managed to get that third goal, which eventually was the winner. And all through a bit of magic from Bruno Fernandes. There was nothing really on. Looked like a simple ball into his feet. Bassi up against him. I thought he was going to take a touch, pass it back. He doesn't. He lets it run through his legs. He gets in behind him. Puts in a lovely cross, which messes with the heads of the defenders, in the sense they run back to goal thinking it's going to go in behind them, but it doesn't. It's late and they can't stop the running time to get a nick on it. And Sesko, looked to me like it took a heavy touch away from the goal as well, but he just swivels and first time whips into that far corner for an unbelievable ending to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we even take it back to the first half and the second goal as well, actually, in the second half. Casemiro, who we mentioned during the commentary, he's leaving Old Trafford in the summer. He's certainly signing off on a high note here, because he comes in with a really good headed goal in the first half and sets up the second goal, which was an incredible assist, wasn't it?
Oh, brilliant, yeah. And obviously the first goal comes from a VAR check that the referee gave a penalty, ends up giving a free kick, soft free kick, like the arm goes out, bit of pulling the jersey, but like you see them not giving a hell of a lot. And obviously just an unbelievable cross in from Fernandes, and Casemiro times his run and his header perfectly to give United the lead. And then obviously, as you said, but listen, his general play, him and Mainu, very strict and disciplined in the middle of the pitch. They were excellent at picking up the second balls, and that's exactly what they done for that second goal, the Cunha goal. I remember they broke on a counter attack. Fulham actually started that second half very well, and they broke on a counter attack through Mbembe on that right side. But they didn't go all at it. They held the ball up there, waited for all the bodies to come up and slowed the game right down and kept that attacking there. What happened was eventually they tried to make that final pass, it broke down to Casemiro and Mainu. Eventually this time again it broke down to Casemiro, and he gives that little Robert Firmino no look pass into Cunha's feet, who's on the shoulder, lets it run by him, and then an absolute bullet shot up over Leno's arms and into the roof of the net for an excellent finish, and deserved at the time, a really deserved finish. So, but Casemiro was excellent, yeah, throughout the whole game.
Yeah, and to look at the negative side of things for United, the fact that they were 2-0 in front, and look, Harry Maguire, you know, he put in a man of the match performance last week against Arsenal. He was absolutely brilliant. You can't take that away from him. He was also really good against City. But he's, throughout his career, he's had these moments where he can make these big, big mistakes and it can cost his team. And he's done it today, like we saw him with the mistimed header against Raul Jimenez. And then that penalty kick that he gives away, like, Is that going to give Carrick and Steve Holland, his assistant, cause for concern that, you know, Harry Maguire still does have that, as they say, has it in his locker, or he can make those mistakes?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I think with the mistimed header, it was an excellent cross from Anderson, yeah. And he's really good when he gets into them positions in the pitch. He makes them deep crosses in. But the gap between Maguire, he had no help at all. Dalot went missing, and Maguire's left on his own, and he's left on his own again for the penalty he concedes. And the last thing you want Harry Maguire wants to be doing is running back towards his own goal when there's a striker running away from him, and that's exactly what happens there. He's left completely exposed, the gaps are too big, and it allows that pass to be made from Berger in behind him, and obviously then he's desperate in the end, and he tries to stop it, but ends up absolutely mincing Jimenez before he wins the penalty and then goes on to score it.
So United now 41 points, they're in fourth position above Chelsea by 1 point, and just 5 behind Aston Villa. Of course, Manchester City on 46 as well, but they've got a game to play at the time we speak. Like, considering the season they've had, United, like, it's been just seems to be problem after problem after problem under Ruben Amorim, and still they could qualify now for the Champions League next season. Like, if they do it under Michael Carrick, there seems to be thinking, you know, there's a lot of people maybe in the media saying Michael Carrick should no way get the United job, no matter what happens by the end of the season. They need to go out and get a big name, whatever the case may be. Even Marco Silva has been linked with the job. Like, is there, you know, any situation where we could see Carrick still remaining on as the head coach next season?
There's always a chance, like, yeah, there's always a chance. I understand it all. He doesn't deserve the job because he hasn't done enough in his career to be Manchester United manager. It's one of the biggest jobs in world football. But just because he hasn't got the name or the experience doesn't mean he's not good enough for it. And if he goes on and has this incredible record now till the end of the season, and if he's able to portray his plans to upstairs and say, this is where we need help, if you have to do this, and if he's able to talk the talk and play that game, you never know, they might just give it to him long term. But he needs Champions League football to do it. He has to finish above expectations for him to have any chance of actually getting the job long term. He certainly started like he's going to do that.
Yeah, they play Tottenham, one of his former clubs, at Old Trafford in 6 days' time. And then it's away to West Ham and away to Everton before hosting Crystal Palace. It's a nice little run of fixtures there for him. You'd imagine he might do well out of those. Just on Fulham, you kind of think with Marco Silva, there's a contract offer given to him by Fulham back in November. It's been reported that's an extra 3 years with them. Like, he's been bouncing around the middle of the table with Fulham for three seasons. They've had 10th, 11th and 13th place finishes. He got them up as high as 7th before today. Do you think he's the kind of manager who can go on and do better things with better resources at a bigger club?
I think he's a very reliable manager. Like, I put him in the same bracket as a David Moyes, for example. You know, if he's managing your football club, you know, you're going to be in a nice, safe place. He's very reliable. So I don't know if he's able to go in and take on a big, huge club like a Manchester United or whoever, or one of them top four, top six clubs, and really kick on and achieve like he's achieving now. I don't know if he can go up and take the next step, but you never know until he goes in and takes it. He definitely deserves a crack at something like that, because he's been around for a good long time now, and having a Fulham as a stable Premier League club, finishing around mid-table or top half of the table is success. That is success. So if he is to go on and get one of these jobs, he definitely would be deserving of it.
Yeah, I suppose the more realistic link for him is the one with Tottenham Hotspur, and we'll see how Thomas Frank can progress over the next couple of weeks. Certainly not a fan favourite at the moment. Fulham next will be at home to Everton, and it's away to Man City before they go to Stoke in the FA Cup. Just to finish then, Owen, because Liverpool last night put on a real show against Newcastle, who started the game at Anfield really, really well. But Hugo Ekitike came in. You know, I suppose a lot of people who don't watch German football mightn't have known an awful lot about him, but he's having a huge impact this season at Anfield. And what's been a very tough season for Liverpool across the board, but he has been a shining light for them. Just as somebody who would know all about, you know, playing centre forward, watching centre forward, you know how they run, you know how they move. What have you made of the impact he's made at Anfield? A player, I suppose, last night, he was compared by Steven Gerrard to Fernando Torres in his pomp.
Yeah, and you can kind of see that comparison coming through now. The thing I love about Ekitike is that he, to me, looks like a very much a Jurgen Klopp type of signing, because he's all energy and he's 100 miles an hour and he'll always press and he's always, it seems like his battery's never run out. And then to back that up, he's got that like unbelievable athleticism where he's more often than not probably going to be the quickest player on the pitch. And now obviously you've got the confidence to back that up, and he's getting into the final third, that he just has that belief now that he backs his ability, he knows what he's capable of, and now he's executing it perfectly. I love that there's a rawness to him. I know you've kind of had a look at Fernando Torres over the years as well. There's something about how he struck a football that it looked a bit raw. Mo Salah can be a bit like that as well. Mm. Like he's a little bit rawness how they make their finishes and stuff. Like that second goal last night for Liverpool is excellent. It's not really a finish you'd expect most people to take, but he does it like, and it's a bit far out for a toe poke as well, and he manages to do it, and just because of his power and the confidence he has in himself now that he's able to execute it perfectly. And the best signing Liverpool made in the summer by far, and obviously just it's been him and Szoboszlai, I suppose, have been the standout performance to Liverpool. Yeah. Definitely
Vert's certainly trying to, we're finding a bit of form now of late. Yeah,
definitely. Look, him early in the season, like you could see he had all the nice touches and stuff when he's in the pockets, but nothing coming of it. Mm. And now he's getting into a kind of slightly better positions, and when there's tight people around him, like we're seeing last night with his assist for Ekitike's goal, he's able to get in there, and actually that final pass is working out perfectly now, and obviously getting his goal as well. He creates the chance to give it to Salah, and then holds his run perfectly to slot it into that bottom corner. So yeah, now he's starting to come good for Liverpool as well.
Cheers on. We've got loads of live football coming for you and Off the Ball over the next week or so, and right throughout the season. Next week we will have for you Brighton versus Crystal Palace. That's the early kickoff at 2 o'clock, and then Liverpool against Manchester City. But don't forget, Friday is the first game of the League of Ireland season on Off the Ball and News Talk Friday night. Shamrock Rovers at home to Dundalk. Who are you up for on that one, Al? Need I ask?
Know, yeah.
We'll catch you then.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.